Oh, at least it's the last one. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Kapi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Yopi Janavalabha Girivaradhari. Yopi Janavalabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Bhagwan, Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra. Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Nitai Gora Haribo, Nitai Gora Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivika Acharya Astatar Sada Jai His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivika Acharya Astatar Sada His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Srimad Bhavatam Grantaraj Ki Jai. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Visheshashunavari Pashyanti Shatari Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripasindu Gazakachya Patiyanam Pavadnabhi Vaishnavi Namunam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 14, text 1, chapter entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. Sri Brahma Vacha Naumidyate Brahma Pushe Tadid Ambaraya Kunjavatam Shep Paripicha Lasan Mukhaya. Vanyas Rajekavala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Shri Mardu Pade Pashupanga Jaya. Shri Brahma Vacha Namidyate Brahma Pushetadi Dambaraya. Kunjavatam sa paripicha lasan mukhaya. Vanyas raje kevala vetra vishana venu. Lakshma shriye mrdupade pashupanga jaya. One more time. Shri Brahma Vacha Naumidyate Brahma Pushe Tadidambaraya Kunjavatam Sa Paripicha Lasan Mukhaya. Vanyasraje Kevala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshmashriya Mridupadaya Pasupan Gajaya. Shri Brahma Vacha. Amijata Brahma Pusheta Didham Varaya. Dunjavatam sha paripichala san mukhaya. Anyasra jekavala vetra vishana venu. Akshmasriya mardu pade pasupanga jaya. Amidyate brava pusheta dinam varaya. Javatam sa paripichala san mukhaya. Panyas raja kevala vetra vishana venu. Lakshmashriya mrdu pade pasu panga jaya. Anyone else? Thank you for chanting word by word translation. Sri Brahma Uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Naomi, I offer praise. Idya, O most worshipable one, Te, unto you. Abra, like a dark cloud. Vapushya, whose body? Tadit, like lightning. Ambaraya, whose garment? Gunja, made of small berries. Avatamsa, with ornaments for the ears. Paripicha, and peacock feathers. Lasat, resplendent. Mukhaya, whose face? Vanyasraja, wearing garlands of forest flowers. Kevala, a morsel of food. Vetra, a stick. Vishana, a buffalo horn bugle. Venu, and a flute. Lakshma, characterized by Shriya, whose beauty? Mrdu, soft. Pade, whose feet? Pashupa, of the cowherd. Nanda Maharaj, Angajaya, unto the sun. Translation. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the King of Cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn, flute, You stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the previous chapter, Brahma, the creator of the universe, tried to bewilder the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, by stealing his cowherd boyfriends and calves. But by a slight exhibition of Krishna's own mystic potency, Brahma himself was completely bewildered, and now, with great humility and devotion, he offers his humble obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. The word kevala in this verse refers to a morsel of rice mixed with yogurt that Krishna held in his left hand. According to Sanatan Goswami, the Lord held a cowherd stick, cowherding stick, and a buffalo horn pressed under his left arm, and his flute was placed under his belt. Beautiful young Krishna, decorated with multicolored forest minerals, exhibited opulences far greater than those of Vaikuntha. Although Brahma had seen innumerable four-armed forms of the Lord, he now surrendered unto the lotus feet of two-armed form of Krishna, who appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brahma offered his prayers to that form. Thank you very much for coming. I hope you're doing well in Krishna consciousness. It's not this beautiful day, beautiful morning. We have just read a beautiful description of the Lord's form by Brahma. This description is included in his prayer. And the prayer happened because Brahma had a realization by the Lord's mercy. And we can offer nice prayers and write something substantial about God if we have the Lord's grace. Without the Lord's grace, we cannot do anything. I'm sure you remember how nice prayers of Mother Kunti and our hero Prahlad. I think we talked about Prahlad recently. So everything happens by the Lord's grace. Doesn't matter who you are, you can offer nice prayers, say something about God. But Lord Brahma came a long way. He's a powerful demigod. The father of the universe, or we should say the architect, the manager of the universe. And he was a little bewildered, just like Lord Indra, trying to trick Krishna, not understanding his omnipotency in full. So sometimes in this world, we know about God, and we are aware that He might be there somewhere and theoretically understand that everything belongs to Him. And we still try to control and enjoy the material facilities without giving God much credit or much thought. He's there somewhere in the corner. And we get to God when we have time, we get to Him. So we try to enjoy the senses too much in this way, and try to think that God doesn't care. Maybe He's not so concerned. Maybe He won't pay attention to us, doing whatever we're doing. After all, there's so many bad people out there and bad characters, and we're not too bad. So we can keep going like that. But God's monitoring system cannot be minimized. He is actually present in every atom of this universe, every atom, and all the other universes. That's how great His monitoring system is. He knows what's going on in every nook and corner of the universe at every time. He knows past, present, and future. He knows everything. So when we try to enjoy indiscriminately and put God on the back burner somewhere. We're trying to override Krishna's power and minimize him, trying to maximize our enjoyment and also minimize the enjoyment of our God brothers and God sisters, brothers and sisters who are maybe as long as they don't get in our way, they're okay. But they get in the way, we may not like it. And I'm talking general, you know, not necessarily among devotees, but in general. In essence, people, human beings, are trying to do what Brahma and Indra have done a long time ago, but in our own little way. Why are we not learning? We could skip the whole experiment of trying to test Krishna or minimize Krishna, you know, prove if he is really God, if there is God out there. We can skip that experiment and just go to the final step of offering nice prayers and obeisances to the Lord and meditate on his beauty and receive his mercy and be happy. But for most people out there, it's not happening. There's a similar experience that Arjuna had on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He had a realization of Krishna's two-armed form. In chapter 11, let me find that verse. When Arjuna saw Krishna in his original form, he said, "Oh, Janardhan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature." He offers nice prayers to the Lord as well in chapter 11. So although he was initially curious of the universal form, he got frightened at the end and tried to, he got tired and frightened of that vision. He preferred to go back to his meditation on the two-armed form, personal form of Krishna. And he also, just like Brahma and Indra, he had to see Krishna's power and how he controls the worlds, how he controls the circumstances, and even how he controls other warriors and their karma on the battlefield. So there's nothing, so ultimately there's nothing for Arjuna left to do but to be an instrument of Krishna. And Brahma had to see the mystic power of Krishna and be bewildered by it and humbled by it, and then he came to his devotional sense. We also must come back to our devotional sense. I'm just talking again in general, not only, you know, devotees, mostly actually people who are outside of our process of devotional service. So we have to come back to our devotional sense. What is that sense? It's a humble mood of being Krishna's servant, or actually being the servant of Krishna's servant. Not even that, even the servant of Krishna's servant. We are not the controllers as much, not even as much as we think we are. How do we get this, our devotional sense back? The devotional sense of being a surrendered soul. How do we get it back? How do people get it back? Our devotional sense, so that we'll cover in this class briefly, and some of these items I already mentioned in other classes. So our devotional sense will return when we put on our three armors. You know, once we wear those three armors properly, we will be able to discharge our duties properly. Just like Brahma can rule the universe, like Arjuna can fight on the battlefield and do Krishna's will, we will also be able to discharge our duties in Krishna consciousness properly. And what are the three armors that we can use? What are the three armors? Well, that's all we'll briefly cover. And the three armors are your physical body, your gross body, and then you have your mind, your subtle body, intelligence, pulse ego, and then you have your spiritual armor, spiritual body, spiritual sense. So we have to We have to polish the three armors so they're all shiny, and then we'll be able to serve Krishna nicely in this world. For example, in the morning, it is very good to take a cool shower and dry ourselves with like a rough towel that will detach us from the first obstacle or enemy or mode of ignorance, from sleep and lethargy and over-identification with our physical body. And we do not mind some mild exercises of yoga stretches that awaken your physical body, that distribute the life force evenly throughout your body. Krishna says, actually, in chapter 3, verse 30, that surrender all your works unto me. Mayi sarvani karmani. And the verse goes on to say at the end, it says, free from lethargy. Free from lethargy. Vigata jvaraha. He's free from lethargy. And Srila Prabhupada makes a nice statement. Makes a nice statement in the purport that such an injunction. Lord instructs the Arjuna that he has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult, nevertheless, duties must be carried out. And there is, and if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, that reluctance should be thrown off. So that's Srila Prabhupada's purports. So we throw off that sleepiness and lethargy, and take a cool shower, dry our body with a rough towel, and then when the energy goes back to our normal state, after 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it may take you a little bit longer to awake your energies within your body, and then you move on to polishing your subtle body. A little bit more. You can do that for 5 minutes, and in yoga they call it pranayama, control of your breath. So you cleanse the gross body, and now you move to the redistributed the life airs properly and evenly, and your mind is already fired up, and there's more rajaguna that kicks in, more versus those mode of ignorance, sleeping, laziness, and now you feel more energy. Now the rajaguna, so the mind wants to take ownership of different ideas, start planning, get excited about things, but not so quick. We want to properly do some breathing exercises, and Lord Krishna also recommends to go beyond the rajaguna in our service to Krishna. He says, in the same verse, that without desires for profit, no claims to proprietorship. So, the mind wants to go and start meditating on different projects, what we're supposed to do. But we should stop that, we should hold off, and clear our minds by doing pranayama or breathing. We remove the rajaguna, put it aside, at least for now, and we can perform pranayama by doing the alternate nostril breathing, which I have mentioned in other classes, and it takes only 2 to 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and what it does is it harmonizes five airs within your head. Your mind is calm and peaceful, and there is more sattva guna in your mind. And now, once you have done that, you polish the mental, subtle armor a little bit. You remove the tamaguna, rajaguna, and then there's more sattvaguna in your mind. Now you are prepared to The mind actually is in the mode of goodness naturally, but sometimes it doesn't seem so. But once the mind goes back to its original mode of goodness, then you prepare to hear the mantra and not revert back to the sleeping mode or, you know, a desire mode. So that brings us to the next item, which is our spiritual armor. And so you've done your 5 to 20, 30 minutes of stretching and take a shower. You have done your breathing, and now you can chant. Chant 16 rounds. It may take you 2 hours, it may take you 3 hours, however long it takes you. I call the chanting of the Maha Mantra the potion of ability. It will make us not only, among other benefits that are most important, like awakening your love for Krishna, and it also removes our desires and makes us capable of keeping that mind clear so we can serve Krishna nicely. So I call the Maha Mantra my potion of ability. Everything becomes possible. So after you cleared your body and mind, you're hearing the mantra for your, you know, time, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours. It is very good to hear the mantra all 16 rounds before sunrise. Why chant less? Why? Why break it up? Maya is waiting for us, right? After we leave, open the door and go to work, Maya doesn't wait. She's right there, ready to test us, ready to see if we want to serve Maya or we want to serve Krishna. So take the full potion of ability, chant all 16 rounds before sunrise, and then you'll be well prepared for your battle, for your service to Krishna. And now that you're allowed to enter Krishna properly into your mind by chanting in a purified state of mind, then your heart is properly set in goodness. It will be easy for you to allow Krishna to drive your chariot for the rest of the day. Because you have knowledge of Krishna, you are surcharged with Krishna, you can surrender all your works to Krishna. And this is what Krishna essentially says in chapter 3, verse 30. He says, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma citasya nirashir nyumamo bhutva yudhyasva vikata jvaraha. Surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me. So, without desires for profit, with no claims of proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So, no mode of ignorance, no rajaguna, no desires for profit, claims to our own ideas, our own projects, with full knowledge of Krishna. A mode of goodness, surrendering all your works unto me without attachment. A mode of goodness again. Now that you cleanse your body, cleanse your mind, you chant it, and now you can properly discharge your duties for the rest of the day in a surrender mood, thinking of Krishna, praying within to Krishna, remembering Him, and this will make your day a very spiritual experience. Thank you for your attention. I hope this was motivating and useful for you. Hope you have a great day in Krishna consciousness. If you have any questions, well, I can elaborate on some aspects. Thank you very much. Any questions? You can take my microphone if you want.
Hello. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. You made a lot of wonderful points. You ended your class by quoting that verse from 330 of the Gita, I believe. Free from lethargy, free from unenthusiasm and laziness. And please forgive me for organizing my thoughts. My comment and question is pretty brief, but maybe you could expand on some of these points. That we see that the material energy doesn't generally allow us to be lethargic for very long, because we may be feeling, I'll just give like a nice story that my brother told when he was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. He gave a class and I heard it online, and he mentioned, generally speaking, if devotees come back from Buddha distribution or doing some hard service, they may be very, you know, tired, lethargic naturally from doing a lot of work. And then suppose another devotee comes in, is that they're Prabhus. There's nice, you know, Hari Katha going downstairs to feed your mind. Would you like to come, Prabhu? I'm so tired, you know, I've been out all day distributing books, etc. And then it was like, okay, that's fine. Then a couple minutes later, the same devotee returns and asks him, dear Prabhus, I know you're tired right now, but there's nice gourmet cheesecake and pizza downstairs. Boom, boom, boom. They get up, you know, jump down the stairs before it's gone. And so we see that this is a mode of goodness example, but in general, in the material world, when we're feeling so tired, so lazy, somebody could come and criticize us, and we get a lot of energy.
That's for sure.
So fight. I thought you were tired. What happened? Well, you criticized me, so you empowered me to, you know, knock you out. And that's why in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, Amar Jivan, My Life, he says, I resist all pious deeds, but I'm very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. I'll just give one last analogy, just like, I appreciated something Gokulananda Prabhu mentioned, because generally speaking, you know, if we're not, I mean, everyone knows whether or not they're praying for Krishna, have a taste for Krishna Katha or topics about Krishna, because in the end, we all have to talk about something. We can't refrain from, I've never seen anybody who's a mute their whole life. So we have to talk about Krishna. So sometimes, you know, in our spiritual life, we go through little obstacles. We may say, I don't really feel like talking about Krishna. I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like doing this. But the nature of the material world, I just feel like sitting. But the nature of the material world is that when somebody, when we have a disagreement, when somebody criticizes us, we could talk about their faults for hours.
I hear.
Prabhu, can you talk about Krishna? I don't feel like it, but I'd rather, you know, I don't have the energy.
I see.
I want to talk about their faults for hours and hours. I could write a whole autobiography of their faults. So my question is, how can we purify us of this mentality? Because we see this in the material world. We make excuses for ourselves. I'm so tired. It appears that Krishna's name, Maya's name, Maya Shakti has more power than Krishna. We chant Krishna's name, nothing. When we hear words, or when we are influenced by lust, influenced by vengeance, influenced by us receiving honor and respect, it seems like we become way more enthusiastic for these things.
Sure.
When we hear, you know, Krishna's name, it's like, so it appears that Maya Shakti has more power than Krishna.
Sure.
So my question is, how can we, what are some steps we could take to rectify this mentality? I don't know, there's some points I wanted to share, but some points that came to mind, and maybe you could expand on them in your life and from which you learned. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much for this relevant question. Well, going back to my class here, let's say, like normally when I chant, let's say I had some days where I didn't have time for many things that I mentioned here. I just jump out of bed and do some chanting and get in the car and go to work, right? It happens. So at that time, my chanting doesn't penetrate deep into my system. I just hear it here, and my mind is already catching and grasping other ideas and energies, because I woke up, I was in mode of good mode of ignorance, you know. Just maybe put some water on my face, you know, change clothes real quick and get to work, and maybe 5 minutes chanting or something, or maybe 10 minutes. But I always believe that some chanting is better than no chanting. So in those tough days when you press for time and you're not able to properly prepare yourself for chanting, I notice that my chanting is not good at all. But if I take time and take your shower, do some stretches, do some breathing, go outside, take in some fresh air, you know, maybe do a little head massage, calm down your mind, remove the lethargy, remove the rajaguna, at least for now, because it's chanting time. Then the chanting has more potency. Just because, not because Krishna's mantra is more powerful today and tomorrow is less powerful, but because you are made yourself more receptive by doing these procedures that are actually from yoga. Yoga is all about making us prepared for hearing and meditating on the Supreme, or hearing the mantra. So these are some basic steps that help us be more attentive and appreciative of the mantra, and then we feel. If you want you a little bit more in the mode of goodness, you'll hear the mantra nicely, and it'll like sit nicely and land nicely from your ear. It goes into your heart and feels good. But if you don't take these steps and you're rushing, and the mind is more absorbed in like other desires seem more powerful and exciting for the mind. Like you mentioned, oh, you know, I'm excited about going to work. I'm gonna make some money. You know, I'll meet this person. Maybe I'll argue with them. Maybe I'll defeat them. Or maybe this. Or maybe that. Or you know, I'm excited. We're going to a picnic. You know, today, and the mind will be more excited about those ideas. But this is more rajaguna. If you give yourself some time and remove that rajaguna, hear the mantra nicely. The mantra, you allow the mantra to work through you, and then it'll change the way you perceive things and go about your things during the day. It will put you more in a state of goodness. You know, we may not be transcendental, but you'll be more in goodness, and you have more appreciation for the Lord, and you have more remembrance of the Lord throughout the day. So yes, these feelings come, you know. Oh, you know, it seems like you know, Mahamaya is more powerful. I don't feel like chanting. I feel like criticizing, or I feel like talking to this person and make sure I make my point. I make my point, you know. But this is just because we didn't remove that rajaguna yet, you know. We have to. It's like curtains, you know. Curtains are there, but if there are no curtain, you can let the sunshine in. The mantra is the sunshine, and no curtains, wow, it's bright. But if you have curtains, it's kind of dim. It's still, you know, it's light outside, but it's dim. So you have to remove the curtains of rajaguna, of tamaguna, and then you hear the mantra nicely, you know. So I hope this was helpful.
Yeah, it was absolutely helpful. It reminded me, maybe I'll share one last point with you that you reminded me of, in appreciation of your point. Like you were, like your last analogy, it definitely solidified the point that I was already going to make when you made your comment and answers to my question. How the light, the Lord is like the sun. He's favorable to everyone. But how we receive the sun, we can either shut Krishna out with the curtains of Maya, or we can open, receive Krishna by opening the curtain of Maya. It's our choice. And that brings to mind where Lord Chaitanya says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Poi Bhakti Lata Bhish. We've all been given the seed of devotion, or let's say in devotees, we've all been given the seed of devotion by the grace of Krishna and Guru. So sometimes we see in devotional life, why is one person's seed of devotion growing? And why is another person's seed of devotion isn't growing so fast? Well, we see that, you reminded me of an analogy based on this point, is that, because you were saying, it's not that the mantra is more powerful one day and less powerful the other day. It depends on our receptivity, our choices in life. So we see that a seed, it's not that one seed grows because it's more empowered, and another seed doesn't grow because it's less empowered. The seed grows based on how it associates with the earth.
Wow. It, sure.
If it associates in fertile, fertile soil, it will grow. If it associates in very unfertile soil, futile soil, if it's hard ground, it's not going to grow. So based on our, so this is what Jesus says in the Bible also, right, too. You know, the seed of your spiritual life will grow based on your association. And if I had to ask a question, sometimes we hear, definitely if we're in devotee association, the seed of our devotion will grow. And that may not also always be the case, because like you said, I feel like criticizing. I'll just mention two pastimes briefly. Haridasa Kaur, he was beat in 22 marketplaces. He was, of course, he initially had the right association, but at this moment, he didn't have the perfect association. But how is it that the seed of his devotion continued to grow in such a ghastly circumstance? Because he associated with humble, appreciative, and forgiving thoughts.
Right, exactly.
And on the other hand, Ramachandra Puri, he criticized his guru.
Oh.
He says, why are you crying? I thought we're not the body, etc. And because of this guru aparad, he couldn't find any good in the Vaishnavas, even though the Vaishnavas so favorable. They provided such a favorable environment. So what's the point? Although, how come Ramachandra Puri's seed of devotion couldn't grow? Because he associated with speculative thoughts, negative thoughts, so many thoughts. So that's what I appreciate about this pastime. Is that it doesn't matter how bad our association is, as long as we associate, that's what we're supposed to be dependent on, improve our the association of our mental stability. And as long as we do that, then last point, I'm not sure if Ranaswami mentioned this in his book, but there's in a desert of one Middle Eastern country, it's called the Tree of Life. And there, the scientists are wondering, how is it possible that this lush tree is growing in the middle of the desert? There's no water source nearby. How is it possible? Just like, how is it possible that Haridasa Kaur devotion will grow in the desert of negativity?
Exactly.
Because he had the proper mentality. And so, my question is, I guess, how can we improve, be dependent more on our mentality and not dependent on our environment? Because we see, even if our environment perfect, you know, we still find fault. Why? Because the internal environment isn't perfect. So how can we improve our internal environment, our mental stabilities?
This is a very good point, Prabhu. I really appreciate it. You cannot react properly to circumstances or relate properly to others if your thoughts and feelings are not in balance or harmony. So that's a difficult situation, you know, because sometimes we chant the mantra and we do devotional service, but while we're doing it mechanically, more or less mechanically, and out of maybe duty, out of some inspiration by other devotees, but there are many unfavorable thoughts and feelings around inside, and then it feeds the offensive attitude. You know, we see things improperly, even though we're doing devotional service. We can see things improperly, and we cannot relate to other devotees properly. And circumstances, we cannot see the circumstances in the right perspective either, because our internal environment is not harmonized, even though we're trying to chant and trying to do a lot of things, and that credit is not being taken away from us, that Krishna sees our effort. He sees how we're swimming, you know. He's standing on the one side of the bank, the river, and we're trying to get on the other side, and he sees how hard we're working to work through our internal environment, you know. We're working through anger issues, we're working through envy, working through greed and lust. How are we trying to choose our attitude when we experience those emotions? Do we react, do we form our reactions based on our emotions, or do we evaluate our emotions, monitor them, observe them, and then we act and react to circumstances. So we don't take this extra step of monitoring your emotions, observing them. You will not be able to form proper reactions, proper actions in relation to others, not only devotees but also non-devotees. So for most devotees, for most people, you need to work on both, you know. I have friends who have been in Krishna consciousness for so long, but somehow they don't get inspired by the Maha Mantra. They just do it here and there, and they did it. They had done it for years consistently, and then they took a break, and they're like favorable, but not really practicing. They don't feel the mantra. They don't feel inspired. They lose their inspiration. So, from my observation, because I've known them for years, they have neglected certain aspects of their personality. They have neglected the health. They have neglected, emotional health. And that's why, that's one reason why doing a strict devotional service is difficult, because they have neglected other aspects. And because they have neglected those other aspects, they have committed some offenses, because they were not able to properly react, relate to others and the environment. They lost their perspective, or they never had this proper perspective to begin with, because they never took care of their health, they never took care of their emotions. So they were not able to be receptive to the process as much as our acharyas would like us to be. You know, we have to be receptive, you know. And for everyone, for each individual, it's different what we need to work on, okay? Chant the mantra, and don't forget about your health. Chant the mantra, but don't forget about your breathing. Breathing is not proper, then your mind doesn't work properly, and you can be easily distracted from chanting. So, okay, chant the mantra and do the service, but don't forget about eating 3 meals per day. Because if you be, you know, malnourished, your mind won't be happy. It's going to be harder for you to focus on devotional service. Chant the mantra, but don't overeat. You know, sometimes we have festivals, so we overeat, but don't do it regularly. Don't overeat every day. Because you eat with some, with a mind that's not properly appreciative of prasadam, then you feed your, also you feed some rajaguna and tamaguna within. You don't appreciate the mantra, you don't appreciate the prasadam for what it is, then you're also feeding your materialistic tendencies as well. And on one side are you getting purified, but also some things that are performed because of this lack of perspective are backfiring on you, you know? You know. So Krishna will help you, but it may be much quicker. You know, much quicker if you realize these things. Krishna wants you to realize these things, how to keep things in balance. Otherwise, you will not be able to progress smoothly, like you said about the fertile soil. You may have the great seed and the great sunlight and everything, but if you're not cultivating the soil that the Lord gave you, the soil, it's your garden, a little garden. You have to try to fill the soil and put the nutrients in. You have to take care of the temple of God, you know. You have to take care of your emotions. And then you can pray nicely. Then you can... The mantra is independent. And the process is independent. The Lord's mercy is independent. But the Lord also gives you mercy to have the intelligent, to make intelligent decisions about your lifestyle. So you can adjust it properly so it is... Your lifestyle is more in the mode of goodness. When your lifestyle is in the mode of goodness, and you're doing things in the mode of goodness to help your body and your mind, you will appreciate the mantra more in the process. You relate to others more. And you see things in perspective when things happen to you. It is so much easier to when you cultivate your little garden, body and your mind, by doing some simple procedures that Ayurveda recommends, and also some of our acharyas also more into, you know, keeping the mind and body, you know, aligned with some of the traditional yoga yoga procedures that really help. You can use those procedures to enhance, to make your bhakti yoga practice more smooth. You know, because we, you know, let's face it, we're not transcendental, we're far away. That's why we have to take care of these things. If you're transcendental, like some of the acharyas, some of the saints that we read about, then it's no problem. In any circumstance, you can shine, in any circumstance, you're crying for Krishna. But, you know, 99.99 devotees are not there, so we have to balance the different aspects of your personality. You have to cultivate a little garden. So the bhakti lata, bhakti bija, grows nicely without any obstruction. I hope this was a little bit, you know, useful. Thank you.
Arjuna Chari, you were describing the various sort of auxiliary parts that need attention to come to the mode of goodness and have one's mind be in a place where one can chant. So, and you were quoting the 330 verse where Krishna's telling Arjuna to, you know, let the lethargy drop away, so you were very much can making a connection that way. So sometimes you know, one observes that persons who are chanting, practicing bhakti yoga, that they come to a point where they drop their practical service or engagement, using some of their actions very specifically in service to Lord Krishna. I mean, very direct service. So, in that particular case, clearly there's some sort of lethargy there. So, if, you know, taking into account what you've said, if one were to analyze the presence of that kind of lethargy where some, you know, often quite important services just dropped, from your thinking on this topic, what would you say is perhaps some encouragement or something one could bring to a person's awareness who's come to this position of extreme lethargy?
I see you asking if someone who was doing some direct service to Krishna and all of a sudden they became kind of lazy or lethargic and stop the service, and then how to encourage them? I see. Well, it really, you would have to know that person, and maybe if you know that person, you can inquire into what they think happened, because maybe, oh, you know, if they're able to receive our encouragement, maybe they're not ready to. Maybe they don't want any encouragement, you know, who knows? But if they're willing to explore the situation within, like, a, you know, close community of God brothers and God sisters, you know, they can talk about it, and it's just hard to say because it's a general situation. I only have general information, but we always remember that Krishna never forgets any service. And Krishna will, in due course of time, when we are ready, or sometimes by force, he will change things around, so we are reinstalled back, reinstated in our service. It depends on the devotee, it depends on his individual, you know. Sometimes Krishna won't let you go. I have a nice nice friend who was really deep into the practice, and somehow he wanted to go away. He was deep into the practice of bhakti yoga and everything. He maybe he was already initiated, I'm not sure. A long time ago. So he said that at one point he wanted to give up. He says, no, no, I'm not going to practice anymore, I'm done. He went to, he was taking a hike somewhere and he saw the church there and said, I'll just go in there. It was empty church and he saw there was a, obviously a Bible on the front of the front of the church, the altar, you know, where the priests took put their podium. That's right. So he says, oh, all right, this church looks nice. Let me see what the book is about. You know, obviously he knew about the Bible. He came up to the podium and he looked at the pages, and the page was open on this verse. I don't know if it was Psalms of David. It was like, you should chant and sing the name of God with love and praise the Lord with your heart and your deed and your words and your instruments. And it was exactly what the Sankirtan movement is about, is praising and chanting and dancing. So this biblical verse was right there for him. And then another situation happened. I think the situation that I will describe quickly now happened before. So he actually went to a bar. So that was before he went to the church. He was going somewhere, he went to like this bar and he asks the bartender, what kind of wine or beer do you have today? What's the special? It was in a different country, okay? It wasn't here in America. So the bartender says, oh, we got this nice wine here. Why don't you check it out? It's new arrival from I don't know from where. But he gave him the bottle and he looked at the sticker on the bottle. It says Vishnu. And he says, this is unbelievable. This name of this wine is Vishnu. And he was like, he put it. I said, no, I'm going here. I'm out of here. And so he went. And then I think he was hiding. He went to the church. So in certain circumstances, Krishna will force you, like he'll be right in front of you, like, no, you're not going. You've done too much. But it depends on the devotee, you know. Sometimes Krishna will give you time. You're like, yeah, okay, I'll go try this. Okay, I'll give you my blessings. Do this. And after some years, you may gain a different perspective to actually voluntarily go back into the service, into the assembly of devotees. So, I hope this was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. You reminded me of Vishnu's our best friend. Sudridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatsvamash. That verse says, you know, he's the well-wishing friend of everyone. So Bob Marley said, true friends are like stars. You can only recognize them when it's dark around you. And there's no better friend than Krishna or Vishnu. And we should also follow his example. When somebody's in a dark period, you know, let's try to encourage them to the best of our abilities. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.